The grace of our risen Savior, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
All right, let's pray together. Lord God, we come today rejoicing you have not left us without hope, but have come back to us in the victory of the resurrection. Renew our hope in you, answer our questions, and move us to a new place of faith, that life might also be different for us, because we have heard the news of Jesus, whom you raised to new life. All right. You who are loved by the Lord, grace and peace to you all. Amen. Okay. This is the way I heard it. At least, this is the way Olaf Overland tells the story. He finished milking early Easter morning, and he got all cleaned up, and he wanted to get to the Easter sunrise service on time. He was running a little bit late, so he was kind of distracted, thinking, I hope I make it there on time, and then it'll start without me. It's getting to get, you know, sun's coming up almost on the horizon. It's getting a little light. So he's driving a little fast, a little bit distracted, and kind of while he was just thinking about songs and what they were going to eat for brunch and everything, something jumps up out of the ditch on his way to church. He hits it, big thump, whump, bam. And he hits the brakes thinking, my goodness, what just happened? So he pulls over, gets out of the car, and you're not going to believe what he saw. You know what he hit? It wasn't a deer. It wasn't a dog. It was the Easter Bunny. He is just broken up. He's thinking, oh my gosh, I hit the Easter Bunny. There's like candy everywhere, all over the highway. He's thinking, oh, crud, how am I going to deal with this? He runs out there and he picks up the poor Easter Bunny and picks up its head, and there is no pulse. Easter Bunny is deader than a doornail. He goes, oh, shoot. He's just holding the Easter Bunny, weeping, thinking, how am I going to explain this to my kids, my grandkids, my neighbors? I'll forever be known as the guy who killed the Easter Bunny. So he's just moaning, feeling so sad, when Agnes drives up behind him, his neighbor. Agnes comes up, pulls up, gets out of her car. She's got her purse, you know, and she's walking over there. She says, Olaf, what happened? He said, look, I hit the Easter Bunny. I killed the Easter Bunny. She goes, really? Let's see. Oh, yeah, that's the Easter Bunny. Yep, he's dead. So she turns around. She goes, I got this. She marches back, grabs her little key fob out of her purse, and she goes chink like that, and her trunk opens up, and she's in there. She's kind of roaming around in her sack. She pulls out this can. She comes over there to the Easter Bunny. She just shakes it up really good like that, and she's just spraying like this. Olaf's thinking, what is going on here? But she just keeps going. Pretty soon, you can see this, like the Easter Bunny's eyes starting to flip open a little bit, and shakes his head. His little Easter Bunny nose goes kind of like that, and kind of just shakes it all off, and pretty soon he sits up, and he hops up like that, and he looks around at all the candy, grabs his bag, and he hop, 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 you know, like they do, they grab their little candy, puts it back in his bag, and he rocks on down the road, just kind of hop, 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 turns around, goes, and he hops, 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 hops a little further, turns around, goes, hops, 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 hops a little further, off into the distance, doing his Easter Bunny thing. Olaf said, Agnes, what did you just spray on the Easter Bunny? She said, oh, just a can of hairspray. He said, let me see that hairspray. He looks at it, and on the can, under hairspray, it says, restores dead hair to life. and adds a permanent wave. There you are. So, here's the deal. There's this like centuries-long tradition of starting the Easter message on Easter Sunday with a joke because, good reason here, good reason, because today is the day that God played like the biggest joke ever on Satan. Satan, who thought with Good Friday he had won, it was done, he was in the ground, and that's the way things were going to be. And God said, oh, you know, just give me 48 hours here, I got this. And the joke, Satan, is on you. I'm the God of life. I'm the resurrection and the life. Because Christ is risen, He is risen indeed. All right, church, it is a wonderful day today. Isn't it like you look outside, it is just awesome. What a perfect, beautiful, incredible, wonderful day we have been given by God today. And how awesome it is to be here together in this place. To all of you who are here as guests, to all who are watching online this morning, to all who've come from out of town, to our ministry partners, to everybody who just came here to check out Living Water, to all of you who are here because you were told by your aunt, your mother, your grandmother, we are going to church today and there will be no arguing. It's always the women, right? It's always the women. To anybody who happened to drive by and see all the cars and just said, I got to come in and check out and see what's going on here in this place, thank you. Thank you for being Living Water today. It is a wonderful day, and it is awesome that we can be here together. Now, this has been a truly incredible week for us as church because we did something this week we have never, ever done before since we've been Living Water. Normally, Monday through Wednesday, we spend getting ready for the Triduum. The Triduum is Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. And then we live into those events on those 3 days. On Thursday, we do stuff like the foot washing, or we do First Communion, we do a Seder meal, we do all those kinds of things, and think about what Jesus did before he was betrayed. Then there's the betrayal on Good Friday. We think about all that, and we relive that through the last words of Christ. We talk about the nails. We hear the nails. There's the betrayal. There's the crucifixion, the burial, all those events from Good Friday, the very dark day. Then on Holy Saturday, we haven't had a vigil very often, but we have gathered everybody in here and just kind of transformed this place with flowers and color and everything to get ready for this big Easter blowout on Easter Sunday. That is what we normally do as church in Holy Week. But not this year, not this past week. This year we did something totally different. We spent this year, the first part of the week, preparing this worship center for A Mother's Passion. And then on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, we opened the doors wide. We invited our whole community, our friends, our family, our neighbors, everybody in for what was, I think, for most of us, something we had never before ever experienced, a mother's passion. Now, do you know what the word passion means? Passion means suffering. Passion means pain. Passion means hurt. Passion means agony. It means all the stuff that Jesus endured, his torture, his crucifixion even, his death, on Good Friday, so that we might have this today, the celebration of resurrection. Eternal life, forgiveness, all those things that we are given as a result of what Jesus did. The production, man, what Janine and her crew put together was nothing short of amazing. I saw people here that I have never seen come through our doors before and may never see again. I listened to songs that I have never heard before that touched me deeply. And every single night, without fail, there were tears. Oh, man, there were tears, lots of tears. When the music started up, so did the tears. I think most of us weren't quite ready for that. I know the first night I sat back in the dark back there, and they came on with Celebration by Kool and the Gang, and the tears started coming. I thought, what? Kool and the Gang? Since when do they make you cry? I mean, a lot of other things, maybe your foot, you know, you dance, but that... So, you know, got out the hanky and blowing my nose, like I just kind of drenched it and looked around, everybody else is too. So next night, Thursday night, what did my wife do? She came with me and we sat in the front under the lights. And it's like, you can't really hide your tears there, can you? Like, you're under the spotlight. And to make matters worse, Trevor Wilson's sitting right across from me, another guy. So, like, we're facing each other. I mean, how do you cry in front of another guy for a whole hour? It's like, I was just kind of doing this, just sucking it up, you know, like, oh, man, I can get through this, I can get through this. Then last night, I was fortunate enough to sit back in the dark in the back again. But you know, here's the deal. Whether you saw it one time, two times, three times, you walked out the door of a mother's passion saying, whoa, I was just a part of something that was transformational. It was profound. It was intense. It was hard. And it was just almost beyond description. And there were tears. Man, were there tears. Now, tears are nothing new to the story of Easter. The gospel writer John tells us that that first Easter, Mary Magdalene, and she is, by the way, the other Mary, not the Mary who was the mother of Jesus, she went to the tomb, and she couldn't believe what she saw. She'd gone there expecting to see this tomb with a big stone in front and guards there and everything as it was supposed to be when they left it after Good Friday. But when she got there, it was very, very different than what she expected. This is what happened, said John. Mary was standing outside the tomb when she got there, crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they've taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." The whole thing, from the arrest to the torture to the trial to the crucifixion, all of it had been so overwhelming. And now this, it's too much for her. So she starts weeping. She starts weeping, and man, she cannot stop. She weeps through this entire story. Even when she bends over, looks inside, sees two angels who are talking to her, saying, "Hey, why are you weeping? Hey, he's not here," right? She can't stop crying. Even when she turns around, sees a figure in the garden by her, a person, a man, she doesn't know who it is, who asks her a second time, "Why are you weeping?" Man, the tears are on, and she cannot stop crying. She is just bawling her eyes out. Church, what makes you weep? What makes you cry? What opens the floodgates of your tears? Interesting thing about crying, because we all do crying in our own way, don't we? I don't think, just like there's not so such thing as two snowflakes, it's kind of like there's no such thing as two people who cry the exact same way. I asked my kids' story permission to tell this story, so I have their permission. It's called Death of a Minivan. It was like 2004 or so, and we were up north, heading north out of Duluth towards Grand Marais, and our minivan died. Now, the thing about this minivan, it was a big white Plymouth Grand Voyager. It had been an awesome vehicle. We loved that thing. We lived in that. You know how minivans are. It's like there's like multiple layers. If you were to do an archaeological whatever, you could find layers of all kinds of stuff. That minivan was like the best minivan. But it had one little problem. The transmission went out on vacation, often. And it finally went out this time, and we said, you know, enough's enough. We coasted into a new car dealer and said, okay, we're not putting more transmissions in this thing. We're getting a new van or a new vehicle. So we look around, we talk. We finally, a few hours later, drive out with a new van. But you know what I was not prepared for? Was the emotional reaction on the part of our kids. They loved the white minivan. That was part of the family. They grew up in that thing. They ate with it, played with it, slept with it. It was like part of the family. And man, they were sad when we left that minivan behind. It's like they're all up hugging the thing before we left. Thinking, really? It's a Chrysler product. They make more. There's many more of them. We can find another one. Hug that. So we're driving out, and the tears start coming. Grace, she is like the loud wailer of the family. It's like you can be here, and she can be in like Price County, and you're going to hear her crying. She's like loud. Then there's Clara. She's like our marathon. She's got a gold medal when it comes to crying. She can cry longer than anybody. Then there's Taya. She's like the delayed reaction crier. It's like, you know, you can kind of set your watch and say, you know, something bad happens and You'd think it would be traumatic enough to bring tears, and it will, but they don't happen right away. It's like, set it for like 5 minutes, and then she runs off, does her thing. You just go 3, 2, 1, boom, wah, and then, then it goes on forever. And then there's my wife, who when they start crying, she cries. So we're driving out, everybody's crying, even I'm crying. I mean, and I'm more of your like, you know, like the tears, my nose just runs when I cry. I'm crying because I'm thinking, my good Lord, I'm 44 years old, and I just bought my second minivan. You know? It's like, here's $25,000 plus my man card, you know? It's like, how do you cry? How do you cry? I mean, what better yet, what makes you cry? You know, is it a dream that just is, man, it's just like you keep reaching for it, and you can't quite grab it? Is it a message you got? You know, it's like something came by, you got on your phone, and you look at it and think, oh, really? You know, the coward, the jerk, they didn't have the guts even to say it to me face to face, and just breaks your heart. Is it a song? I mean, is it an illness that you just can't get over, can't get well from? Is it depression that just you can't kind of climb your way out? You try, but you just keep sliding back down. Is it something else? I mean, what is it? What is it that makes you cry? You don't cry? Well, that's good. Awesome. Yay. Congratulations if you don't cry. If you're happy all the time, I'm glad for you, truly. But a note of warning, you may want to file this message away because there's the thing about life. You live long enough, life will give you plenty of reasons to cry. What do we know about crying, weeping? Here's what psychologists tell us. Psychologists tell us that tears are the body's way of sending a message of desperation. It's like louder than any words. They're like our body's way of hoisting up this big, huge sign that says, hey, everybody, regardless of what my words may say, regardless of what my face may be telling you right now, I am desperate. I'm hurting. I'm vulnerable. I'm weak. And I need help. Tears. Mary, at what point in the Easter story does she finally stop crying? When do the faucets get turned off and she can start to think clearly again? What is it that calms her down, brings her peace, and sets her on a brand new path? Two things. She turned to leave, Mary did, and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. What makes her stop crying? What gives her peace? What calms her down? What sets her on a new path? Same thing is for any of us. One, she hears her name called by Jesus. Says, Mary. Mary, he knows her, he calls her by name, just as he calls us by name in baptism. He calls her by name and says, Mary, and then he gives her an invitation. He invites her to name the source of her tears. He doesn't say, oh, stop your crying, stop your whining, stop being so weak, come on, it's okay, you don't have to cry. He doesn't say any of that stuff, doesn't scold her at all. This is Jesus now. Remember Jesus who cried when his good buddy Lazarus died? Jesus, he becomes her pastor, her friend. And he says, okay, why are you weeping? Where's your pain? It's okay. You can name it. What's your pain? What is it that's hurting you? Same invitation he gives to us. What's your pain? Go ahead, name it. It's okay. Say it out loud. It's all right. Name it. What's hurting you? I know your name. I know your pain. Say it. Father Joe Mack, he says this about our tears. He says, the deepest fear of any man or woman is not that there is no God, but that God is real just too far away to care about us. Our tears are the door through which hearts are opened. God enters, and the Spirit of Jesus begins the process of transforming doubt into hope, and the broken are made whole. What makes you cry, church? What was the last thing that brought tears to your face? Have you ever thought of tears as this big, giant door through which God can come, through which the Spirit of Jesus can enter and start this transforming process of transforming hearts that are frozen, that are just absolutely frozen by despair, by grief, by fear? God's way of delivering to us what we all crave for: hope, wholeness, a new way. You know, the amazing thing about Mary, what happens once Jesus calls her name? What happens once she can name her pain, name out loud that which is bothering her, that for which she is longing and desiring? What happens once she encounters the risen Jesus? She stops crying, doesn't she? She stops crying, she starts running, she finds the disciples and she says, "Jesus is risen, he is alive," and in the process, she becomes the very first preacher of the Easter message. Mary, how are you going to remember Mary? As that woman, that weeping woman whose tears literally drench the Easter story? As the first person who got to see the risen Jesus? As the first preacher who was able to preach the message that Christ is risen? Or as the one who shows us that in the presence of the resurrected Jesus, wow, darkness has to give way to light, right? Hope has to replace despair. And through our tears, there comes God. Through our tears, whether it's today, Easter Sunday, or Christmas, or any other day of the year, there comes God entering our hearts, transforming sadness into joy, taking dead ends and making new beginnings, turning death into resurrection, and the Dead Sea into rivers, rivers, rivers gushing with all kinds of living water. Church, thank you for being here today. Thank you for celebrating Christmas with us. Christ is risen. And all God's people said,